Welcome to another episode of Ultimate Key to Freedom, Questions and Answers. I apologize for the delay in getting to the backed up questions. I'm still in Australia. It's Thursday, March 5th, and I will be flying home tomorrow, Friday, March 6th, Australian time. And with all the run and doing two events, I just did not have the time to do a second Q&A while I'm here. So here we go, catching up on what I have from since the last one. Okay, here's the first one. This is from David, who has been through Ultimate Key to Freedom two times. I trust you had a great trip to Australia. Yes, it has been awesome, David. Thank you. It's been beyond awesome. You said something last time. You said something that has been rattling around in my mind machine ever since. By the way, he's using, as usual, transformational vocabulary, so anytime he uses the word I or certain other words like that, it's in quotes, but I'm not going to read the quotes. I had mentioned my mind was rattling over a habit pattern of asking what to do with my business and my work. It has been a struggle finding my footing ever since I have stepped into being an entrepreneur. Unlike you, my success as a business person has never been more than marginal, and it seems since Ultimate Key to Freedom, my mind machine has struggled even more. In fact, nothing I have done to directly try to get the business moving has worked. You said that my main job now was to focus on allowing ultimate freedom to take a hold and allow it to unfold. I wanted to see what you meant by that and what you would define the job of allowing it to unfold is. Okay, I did not mean it as a job. I did not mean it as a to-do list that has specific items on it. What I meant was, if you remember back to the videos that Michael Haig did about the art of storytelling, as I call it, he says that a character in a story is always pursuing a visible goal at the surface. And then he talks about the fact that there can also be an identity to essence goal that's underneath, that's running parallel to that journey. So if we apply that to your story, which isn't always the case, but it tends to be the case for people on this path to ultimate freedom awakening, bear with the language, then you could say that there are these two simultaneous journeys that are rolling in your story. At the surface level, which he talked about in the first video, the shorter one about storytelling, there is, I'm just going to call it one goal, even though there might be multiple goals as part of it, of making a successful business. So at the surface, the David character is pursuing the visible goal of building a successful business. We're not going to define that here. And then if you remember what Michael Haig said is, when heroes in stories are pursuing visible goals, there are going to be obstacles. And the obstacles are there to make an interesting story, to create emotion, to create opportunities for what the whole human story is about, which is to experience unique thoughts, feelings, and sensations through the unique biases of unique characters in unique situations. So the mind machine, and I know this, what I'm about to say to you intimately, it's not just a theory. The mind machine wants there to be no obstacles, wants everything to be quick and easy, wants to basically be able to snap its finger, you know, or something like that, and just achieve goals and make money and have a successful business. But if you remember, I think I said this, if I didn't say this in the videos, I think I've said it in audios in the Q&A here. True creative essence has the ability to snap its finger and create absolutely anything in the blink of an eye, no matter how complex it is. But the human story is about stories. So any time that a hero is moving from a point A to a point B being the achievement of a visible goal, and you may remember that I said that, you know, the cycle that Michael talks about there can loop multiple times in a story, or it can be extended for an entire lifetime or big chunks of a lifetime. It just depends. So the mind machine doesn't want to have obstacles and doesn't want to have delays and doesn't want to have ups and downs and doesn't want to have to, quote unquote, struggle in building a business for a long time, because it wants the goal, which is whatever, to be successful, to make a certain amount of money consistently, to whatever else it is. So at the story level, what's going on with your business is what's been written for your story, and it is a character named David who is pursuing a visible goal related to the business. The goal has not been achieved yet. It may not. As we've talked about before, you may continue on the same path, trying to build the same kind of business. That may change. So at the surface level, you might want to go back, even though you've watched the course twice, you might want to go back after listening to this and watch that first video. It's at the end of day three, where he talks about the visible journey of a hero. But then running simultaneously, and everything that happens at the visible level feeding the invisible level, the identity to essence journey, the David characters is also on an identity to essence, perhaps at the character level, for the character within the story, shedding an identity that was created in the story. I think I talked about this. If I didn't, David or someone else, come on back and ask me for some more detail. There's the potential for us who are on this path that there's the visible journey, as Michael Haig talked about. There's the possibility for an identity to essence journey at the character level for the character. If you remember, Robert had all this wounding and all this stuff that I talked about on day three. And through the story that I narrated at the purely story level, the Robert character at the story level went from identity to essence and is still exploring what it's like to live in the essence of the character itself without all that stuff in the mind machine driving things and shaping things. And then there's a third potential identity to essence, a third journey, another journey from identity to essence, which is at the truth level with ultimate freedom awakening in the story. Don't take this too literally or try to overanalyze or whatever, but there's the possibility that there are actually three simultaneous tracks running in the David story and in the stories of other people listening to this. So, and the visible journey and the inner journey, as Michael talked about in the second video, which is on the morning of day four, he talks about how the visible journey intertwines with the inner journey, everything feeding everything else, supporting everything else. So everything that's going on in your business is supporting the visible journey for the David character. Odds are it's supporting the inner journey level one, which is for the David character at the story level. And then it's also feeding the inner journey at the identity to essence, ultimate freedom awakening level. So it's all intertwined. It's all being written to support all of that. And so it's pushing on all of these different things. It's creating new experiences related to ultimate freedom awakening, which is not going to happen overnight, is not going to happen snap of a finger. True creative essence, with few exceptions from my bias, if there's a point A and there's a point B, the point A is I now have a visible goal for the character at the story level. Point B is the goal is achieved or it's changed or it's rejected or it's whatever. If there's a point A to point B, which is identity to essence at the story level, if there's a point A to point B, identity to essence at the truth level with ultimate freedom awakening, it's going to unfold in a story. And the story's going to unfold over time, and there's going to be lots of opportunities for guided tour components to see things changing a little bit at a time, as I talked about in the Robert story, and twists and turns, ups and downs, to make it a great story. Again, the mind machine just wants ultimate freedom awake now, and ultimate freedom wants identity to essence for the David character at the story level now. And it wants the visible goal of business success now, but that's not the way the stories work. You know, if you remember, Harry Potter wanted to defeat Voldemort in the first book. It didn't happen until the end of the seventh book, the end of the eighth movie, because it's a story, and it was a long story, and lots of things had to happen before that goal was achieved. And it's the same thing for us, but the mind machine will never accept that. You know, I did not have the appearance of an Ultimate Key to Freedom experience opening a gateway, letting me know about ultimate freedom and stuff. So I didn't have that target specifically. I was just going through what I was going through, knowing it was going to lead to truth with a capital T, but I was in a different position than you in the way that things unfolded. So, but if you'd come to me in what was a 3-year process, if you will, of ultimate freedom awakening, you know, or if you'd come to me and said, hey, this is going to take 3 years. How do you feel about that? You know, the mind machine would have buzzed in word and said, no way. I've already suffered enough. I've already been through enough. I don't want to wait another 3 years, have another 3 years of crazy shit until ultimate. But stories are stories, and this is the truth, but the mind machine's never going to buy that. It's never going to accept that, but that's the truth. So, again, going back to your original question, I didn't mean your main job with a to-do list or whatever was to focus or somehow do something. It was just meant to say this is what the most important thing is right now. There's the three journeys that are intertwining. Hero seeking to achieve visible goal, identity to essence at the story level, identity to essence at the truth level. What I meant when I made the comment about your job being ultimate freedom awakening, what I meant was the highest priority right now, all of the raw material is being directed more towards ultimate freedom awakening. My bias, I could be wrong about that. And my invitation was, quote unquote, to look at it that way, but not that you needed to do something or you needed to use some technique or you needed to say something to yourself or no to-do list. That's just the truth, and it's just to realize that the game's different now. It used to be primarily about the visible journey at that level, or perhaps you thought it was about one of the other inner journeys, but right now, priority number one is ultimate freedom awakening, and that's what it was in the Robert story as well. And so all other things, lack of a better term, will defer to that on the priority list, and True Creative Essence will take care of the business, and as he ultimately did, he, forgive me, ladies, I'm a man, so I say he for True Creative Essence, I don't mean it that way. These things will take care of themselves, but the raw material is being shaped with priority number one, supporting ultimate freedom and awakening. Okay, David's question continues. Also, I have found that I am starting to reconnect to spiritual practices I had stopped. I had been strongly immersed into ascension work before and have felt drawn back here. And yes, I am hoping that for my story, this has merit in the story. I do sense we are about to deal with some major changes in the story for all of us, and the True Creative Essence is engaging in an upgrade in consciousness overall. I can just feel we are about to go through something intense collectively. I say this because there are experiences happening in inner space that confirm a shift in this character, and also because people are entering my script who are aligned with the Ascension story. Again, the pages will turn, and maybe I will be a character that was duped by this illusionary story of Ascension, yet I have to admit a large part of me certainly hopes that the past 15 years of struggle will lead the character to some breakthrough experience. I know that is hoping for being saved, but I have to admit I am tired of what feels like constant struggle and the need to constantly to go to a new level of surrender. All right, David, I don't know how much help I can be with this particular comment or question, but I'll share what appears, and where it goes, it goes. First of all, there are two possibilities here. One possibility is something about going back into the Ascension story. You call it Ascension work. I'm going to call it Ascension story because to me that's what it is. I do not have a belief that says that there's some upgrade in consciousness taking place to mankind in general. It could be. It certainly could be in certain multidimensional realities or whatever, you know, or it could be happening to certain characters and certain stories. It's not something that I hold active in my story. If that's what manifests as the Robert story continues, then I'll enjoy watching it, you know, as if I was watching a movie about it or whatever. It's irrelevant to my life at this point, but that's just me. Doesn't mean anything. So there's one possibility, which is there's something about going back into the Ascension story, and these two possibilities are linked. There's something about going back into the Ascension story that is very supportive to ultimate freedom awakening in some, let's call it direct. It's hard to put this into words without contradicting things, so bear with me, please, and don't take it too literally, because if you do, you'll find a disconnect and a contradiction within it and to things I've said before, but it's hard to put this into words. Let's say it's possible that it could be directly supportive to ultimate freedom awakening, because when you go back in there and things happen, it'll be supportive to getting into a truthful with a capital T relationship with what's going on, not necessarily with what's going on within the Ascension story itself. But in the reader reading about whatever happens with the ascension work, that's possibility one. Possibility two is, and I've seen this happen recently, somebody that that went through Ultimate Freedom a ways back in Sedona when the live event happened, the videos were taken from, recently emailed me and said, I embraced the Ultimate Freedom stuff and then I let it go, and it appears that part of my story was for me to go down a bunch of dead ends again before I finally realized, before Ultimate Freedom finally awakened, and I just went through the videos again and I'm seeing things I didn't see before and amazing things are happened and thank you and stuff like that. So she went back into some quote-unquote old stuff, went on to some old paths because in her explanation, she needed to go down some more dead ends before turning around and coming back down the Ultimate Freedom path. So that's possible too. I don't know. What I do know is true creative essence does not shape itself into anything that is not supportive to a story, whether we understand it or not, in the moment or ever. And so I have absolute certainty, bear with the language, that if you do go back into the ascension work, then there's purpose to it, whether it fits the two scenarios I just sketched or there's some other reason for it. It wouldn't be happening. You wouldn't even be thinking about doing it, even if you don't ultimately do it, if it wasn't supportive to your story. So it's what's really going on is you're reading a novel. Look at it this way. You're reading a novel. The hero of the novel is David. On page 400 of an 800-page book, the David character in the novel just went through ultimate freedom and is now on page, 410, is thinking of going back into ascension work just like you are. And so you as the reader will say, wow, okay, so David's going back into ascension work. I wonder what's going to happen. And you'd keep turning the pages, and ultimately you'd find out what the author wrote for this David character with the ascension work, with ultimate freedom, with whatever else. So we'll see. But it wouldn't be happening if it wasn't purposeful, if true creative essence did not want to shape itself into that. David can't choose this. David cannot stray from the path. David cannot make a mistake. David cannot screw up. This is again, an 800-page novel. I'm making up the page numbers, and this is what's going on intentionally. That's what the author wrote as part of a particular story about a particular character unfolding. So no big deal. We'll see where it goes. The interesting thing here is, again, is from what you're saying, there is a return to the ascension work because there's a goal, there's an outcome, there's a hope for a change, fix, and improve, and that's fine. That's what's going on with the David character in the David story. It is unlikely that that will happen. That's my bias. I could be wrong. But on this path, while characters can go down change, fix, and improve paths, while they can go down paths hoping there will be a cause and effect benefit, my bias is if there's truly an identity to essence journey taking place and ultimate freedom awakening is the target of that journey, is the essence part of that journey, then any attempt to use a particular technique or approach or whatever it is to try to produce a particular result does not tend to produce the particular result, although it can be very useful in other ways. So once again, we'll see. I get that you're hoping that it will. I get that you're tired. I get that blah, blah, blah. I've been there, done that. I don't say blah, blah, blah to be disrespectful to you. I'm just saying that to shorten all the words that you wrote. I totally know how you feel. You have to remember the story that I narrated, the whole story that I narrated on day three took place over 10 years. The part of the story that was specifically focused on ultimate freedom awakening took 3 years. I don't know exactly, maybe it's 6 months ago or something that you finished ultimate freedom. So it was 2.5 years beyond that before, quote unquote, the big breakthrough, just to call it that, ultimate freedom awakening happened. And 3 years isn't a formula, but as I've told you many, many times, I can't even count the number of times within that 3 years that I felt exactly the way you do. It ties into what Michael Haig said about visible journeys and obstacles and unfolding over time, and there can't be an aha moment. It has to be a gradual change to make a great story. And what he said about identity to essence not happening lightning bolt or even super fast, but unfolding slowly but surely. My bias is not only is that what happened to Robert, not only is that the most enjoyable way for it to happen, even though the mind machine will likely complain nonstop in the middle of it, or could, but it's also the way stories are. So I hear you. It's going to go where it goes. What's going to happen is going to happen. Things are going to appear. There is going to be complaining. There is going to be, quote-unquote, frustration, although there can be a truthful relationship with it. You can be reading about a character named David who's frustrated versus I am frustrated, the way you used to use it before. Talk about it before. And that's really all I have to share. I totally hear you. If you could take the whole Robert story and imagine that at the beginning of 3-year journey into Ultimate Freedom Awakening, I had taken this course. If you could imagine that I had access to somebody like me, I would have been writing the same kind of stuff as you wrote. I would have been complaining, so to speak, about the same kind of stuff you were. And I did, in fact, sometimes out loud, a lot of times out loud, and sometimes quietly in inner space, it appearing on its own. There were the same kinds of things that you said at the end. Tired of the struggle, tired of this, tired of that. I just want the prize finally. All of that happened, and I would be writing the same kinds of things, odds are, and it went where it went. It didn't happen as fast as the mind machine or characters in inner space would have liked, but it happened. It was amazing. At this point, I wouldn't trade one second of it. And I also will tell you, David, that if I was back in the middle of one of the moments when the Robert character, as it appeared, was fed up, had had enough, just, you know, give me the prize or kill me off, whatever. If you had said to me what I just said, you're going to be happy when it's over. You know, you're going to look back and you won't want to trade one second, even though in the middle of it, maybe you hated a lot of it or wished it would end or whatever. I wouldn't have believed it. It wouldn't have made any difference. It would have bounced off flat. So if that's what happens, that's what happens. I'm ultimately just another character in your story. There's no power in me or anything I say or share unless true creative essence shapes itself into there being power and cause and effect benefit there. Your story is your story. It's going to unfold as it unfolds. And I hear you in terms of how it feels right now. All right, let's move on to the next question. All right, let's move on to the second question. Hold on here. I got to file the one from David and go to the next one. This is from Kauri. Hopefully I pronounced that right, Kauri. I just finished the 4-day online course. My question is not related to the content, but I heard in your Q&A that you were in Japan. Did you do the Ultimate Freedom course here? I live in Tokyo, Japan. If so, is it available online or DVD in Japanese? Because I have some friends I want to share this with, but who only speak Japanese. Also, is there an Ultimate Freedom community in Japan or anyone I can connect to? And thank you, Robert, for this work on truth. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Kauri. To answer your first question, no. There was a plan that I would come this year. The people who partnered with me in the past who publish my books in Japanese and had brought me there to speak twice a couple of years ago, there was a plan to bring me to Japan this year, 2015, to do an Ultimate Freedom, but that has not happened, and it does not look like it will happen. It could happen in another way, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen with them, so no. It's not available online in Japanese. There is no DVD. Perhaps someday that will be the case, but it is not the case now. Sorry. Also, is there an Ultimate Freedom community in Japan or anyone I can connect to? Please send an email to Nancy in the office. It's not always possible for us to know that because people don't always give us complete addresses. And their email addresses do not, like, always have a .jp at the end or something, so we don't always know. But send Nancy an email, ask her to do some research on whether there are Ultimate Freedom graduates. I know there's one woman from Japan who just came to the Ultimate Freedom that I did in Australia, where I am right now. And there's a guy that came from Japan who came to one of the events at my home. So there's only two that came to live experiences from Japan. I don't know how many there may be that have been through the online course like you, but ask Nancy to research it And she could then ask for their permission, because we don't give out contact information without permission. So she'd have to first isolate it and then ask for their permission, and you'd have to give her your permission to share your information. I don't think there's a very large community, but there may be some people, so let Nancy know. And thank you very much for the share. I'm glad that the teachings have been beneficial for you. I'm asking you to contact Nancy to ask her for that, because you'll need to give her your permission and initiate that dialogue. And I may not get to it for a while because I'm busy for the rest of my time here in Australia, and then I have a long trip home. And so I'll leave that in your court, so to speak, to ask Nancy yourself and see where it goes. Some people are willing to give out their contact information to connect with others like that, and some people are not. So we'll see where it goes. Okay, continuing. The next question is from Sherry. The character Sherry would welcome any comments or observations from Robert about these shares. Share number one. True creative essence shaped this character to appreciate a point that the character Robert made. True creative essence wouldn't create a story that was all about depressing situations. As humans, we wouldn't find such a story interesting, so true creative essence likely wouldn't either. Well, Sherry, I'm not sure. If I'm incorrect, please point me to where I'm incorrect. It's very unlikely that I would have used that language, although I might have been pointing to something directly, but it's very unlikely that I would have said directly about depressing situations, because depressing is a story. There's no such thing as a depressing situation. All there is a situation where da-da-da-da is appearing as a pure raw experience. Then that da-da-da-da is observed. There's a buzzword of the mind machine. A story is made up. This is depressing and bad, and it would be better if it stopped, and blah, blah, blah. So I think there's a bit of a translation in there. There's a bit of a miscommunication, whatever you want to call it. If I did say that, again, which I'd be very surprised at, then I spoke incorrectly. The meaning, what's really being pointed to in comments like that, is true creative essence only shapes itself into characters and stories, appearances in inner space and story space that interest it. And when you say, well, what does interest true creative essence mean? What it means is if it creates a unique combination of thoughts, feelings, and sensations, an ongoing flow of them as the story unfolds in inner space, intertwined with unique things happening with the body, with unique things happening in story space, making it a full-blown human experience with inner space and story space dynamics. If true creative essence was not interested in playing with, exploring, and expressing itself creatively in certain situations, it wouldn't. If it has shaped itself into a particular character in a particular situation, whether it's short-lived, few weeks, few months, few years, or longer term, you know, an entire lifetime, big chunks of lifetime, then without judgment, without looking at it as bad, without looking at it as depressing, but looking at it as an amazing story, there's something about it that interested true creative essence. So that's the truth with a capital T about these dynamics, and that's all that I meant to point to. If you look at a lot of the stuff that I narrated as part of the Robert story, a story could be made that while Robert's life may have been interesting, that it was awfully depressing. You know, it was awful negative. It was also awful painful, whatever, for the first 40-whatever years, and that story can be made up with a definition of depressing, painful, tortuous, whatever, you know, being defined in a certain way, then logically one could argue that that's a quote-unquote accurate label of the Robert story. But given where it ended, given the truth about it, even if it had ended somewhere else, it's just not true. So what, again, the truth of this is true creative essence, like any author, no matter what happens in a story, you know, there are times in the Harry Potter stories that the story was quote-unquote depressing according to old traditional definitions. I remember when I was going through the books and loving them, there were long scenes, maybe one or two books in their entirety, that at the time, the Robert character was in phase one or phase two, I don't remember, maybe both, that I had trouble getting through the books as it appeared because I thought it was depressing and it was just dark, black, bad stuff happening to Harry and all the other people. But that was the story. And it ultimately led somewhere else. Those stages that just in a story by the mind machine were labeled as depressing, negative, bad, whatever, they were part of the story. They were part of what was unfolding. They were unique experiences in the lives of Harry and the other primary characters and the other supporting characters leading towards the ultimate victory against Voldemort. So, again, that's the truth. The truth with a capital T here is, you know, J.K. Rowling shaped herself into that whole story, including the tough moments, the depressing moments, all quote-unquote, as part of an unfolding story, and True Creative Essence does the same thing. J.K. Rowling did not do that by accident. She didn't do that randomly. She could have written anything. She could have edited it all out, made it a happier story. But there's a lot of quote-unquote dark stuff that happens in the Harry Potter stories, and it's part of the story. There's a lot of dark stuff, so to speak, that happens in a lot of movies and novels and other stories and people's lives. But dark is a story, depressing is a story, bad is a story, painful is a story. There can be a truthful, with a capital T, relationship with it, which, as you know, I call being the reader of the story, where the relationship to whatever's happening is very, very different, even if it's something that would have once been called difficult. Okay, share number two. For particular relationships and situations that TCE has shaped as difficult, TCE, as the character Sherry, is experiencing being fully immersed in the emotions of the storyline, interjected with brief realizations that, quote-unquote, it's all a story. Said another way, True Creative Essence is seeing with a capital S from different vantage points. Specifically, the perspective usually starts from within the emotions of the storyline, then pops up for a Phase 3 perspective, then dives back down into the emotions of the storyline. These Phase 3 pop-ups, quote-unquote, don't show up in inner space as video or words. Instead, they are a recognition of a perspective. Perhaps they could be described using Robert's words, energy ball. When the perspective of the storyline is being viewed, judgment exists. TCE shapes itself as perceiving events to be good or bad. The movement of energy labeled as bad is experienced by the character as a desire to move away or avoid. TCE is also shaping these questions. Is this as good as TCE will create this character's version of Phase 3 to be, or is True Creative Essence creating itself as a guided tour of the separation between story and true raw experience, and the pages continue to turn? Well, Sherry, pretty much any time you ask me for a prediction of things to come, you ask me to talk about the future, I don't go there anymore. It has no value. It's the mind machine buzzing and whirring and trying to do its job, trying to understand things before they happen, experiences, trying to understand them before it happens, underneath that, in some cases, to prepare, protect, you know, whatever. That anytime there's a desire to know what's going to happen in the future, it's a mind machine program, and it's not supportive in general to answer the question on this path, because that's not what happens when you're reading a really great story, watching a really great movie, as I talked about. Bear with all of that language. It could be argued with if you wanted to. So is this as good as TCE will create? I don't know. In the Robert story, what you narrate happened an awful lot. You have to remember, as I said earlier to David, the ultimate freedom journey in the Robert character story was over 3 years. And so at the beginning of the 3 years, there wasn't a seeing with a capital S of any of what's talked about in the course. Then there was glimpses of it, but the dominant, bear with the language here on all of this, the dominant perspective was the old perspective, judgment, I don't like this, Robert's an individual. Even if truth was appearing simultaneously, the louder voice, what seemed more real, you know, what had me by the throat more were the lies, illusions, and stories. And what you talk about as Phase 3 pop-ups started to happen, I knew they were true, but the other stuff still had me by the throat as I narrated in my story. And then the pop-ups, I'm using your language, again, don't take any of this literally, happened more and more and more, and the other stuff got quieter and quieter and quieter. And then it still appeared, and then it reversed, where the, what you're calling the phase three perspectives became the dominant, and, but there was still the other stuff, but it was quiet. And then over time, it shifted into what I consider to be the ultimate freedom living, so to speak, which is one of two things happens. Judgments, change, fix, and improve, ideas, positive, negative, all that stuff completely disappears. And everything is experienced through the lens of truth with a capital T, with ultimate freedom awake as the reader. There just isn't the positive, negative, good, bad, I hate this, you know, except for things like foods, you know, or certain things that are preferences for a character. That's one possibility. The other possibility is in blips or consistently. And again, remember, this unfolded for the Robert character over 3 years. I don't know, but I don't even think it's been 6 months since Sherry got involved with this, even if it is. And again, 3 years isn't a formula. I'm not saying it has to take. I'm just saying. I was still complaining, quote unquote, having many more kinds of things, as I said to David, appearing at the point that you and David, Sherry, you and David are on this journey. The clarity, the locking in, the kinds of things that I narrated as what happens when ultimate freedom awakens did not come in the Robert story until much, much later. I also, as I said, didn't have a course like this in my story, so it's a different dynamic completely. But so is it the best that's ever going to happen? I doubt it. It's likely a step in an unfolding story. Again, I think I mentioned that in general for the Robert character, and it's not a rule or a formula, but it tends to happen a lot, there's an old way of being, and then it changes a little, changes a little, changes a little, changes a little more, changes a little more, changes a little more, changes a little more, changes a little more. The old gets weaker and weaker and weaker. The new gets stronger and stronger and stronger until at some point there's a shift and the new becomes dominant when the old used to be, like I narrated. And that's what's happened over and over and over. So the way it seems to me as you're talking about this is that you're going down a similar kind of a path. Things are changing slowly but surely. Again, remember what Michael Hayes said, talked about identity to essence in the second video that's on the morning of day four. That the hero gets, you know, it's a journey from identity to essence, fear to courage, doesn't happen in a moment. You know, little bit pull back, little bit more courage, fear pull back, little bit more as the character over time slowly but surely transforms. That's what happened in the Robert story. So I don't know. Or is true creative essence creating itself as a guided tour of the sep? It's much more likely, my bias, that that's what's going on, yes. You're getting a slow but sure transition from the old to the new, bear with the language, so that you can really see what the old was like in all of its detail through the eyes of truth, and then watch it slowly but surely change, with that slowly but surely changing journey ultimately being perceived as delicious. At the end and at various moments as it's happening, it's much more likely that something like that's happening, but we'll have to see. Like I said to David, we'll have to see, because the only thing that reveals the truth about questions like this is allowing the story to fully unfold. All right, I took a break there. I'm still in Australia, as I said, went out for lunch with a friend. And now I came back and I am at the home of my friend Amir, who lives right on the water. So the odds are, not sure, have to listen to this recording afterwards, but you may hear waves, the sound of water or wind in the background. It's a very windy day. So that's where that sound's coming from, if you pick it up. So let's continue. I still got a few more questions and one that just came in. So here we go. This one is from Benjamin. Benjamin attended the recent Ultimate Key to Freedom in Sydney, Australia, the one I did in Narrabeen, couple of weeks ago now. I know there is no power in the story, but when I do certain things, such as meditate and go to the gym, they still make me feel better and still seem to work. When I don't meditate or practice presence, there seems to cause more dizziness and activity of the mind. All right, there's no question here, but I will read through the words. First of all, Benjamin, there's no power in the story at the truth level of things, truth with a capital T. There is often power and cause and effect power in the story if true creative essence shapes itself into power appearing to be in a particular cause to create a particular effect. So at the first level of answering your question, I just want to clarify that. It's not that there's no power in the story. There is no power in the story at the truth level, but at the story level, there appears to be. Just like there is with novels, just like there is with movies, just like there is with TV shows, there isn't really any power, but there appears to be, and there appears to be to make certain stories possible. So at the moment, if you are still noticing that certain things that the Benjamin character used to do appear to have benefits, so to speak, appear to have power, appear to have cause and effect, then they do, because true creative essence is shaping itself into that. That may continue, it may not. Ultimately, on this path, what generally happens is that power is taken out of these kinds of things, at least temporarily, to reveal the truth with a capital T about them, that you don't need to meditate or practice what you're calling presence in order to feel better, quote unquote, to show you at an experiential level that there isn't any true power in it. And then ultimately, it's something that can be done. After that, if it's enjoyable, if it's supportive, whatever, but it's no longer done in order to produce a particular result in general. But all journeys are unique. So no problem. Again, there's a misunderstanding here of the teachings. There does appear to be power because true creative essence shapes itself into the illusion of cause and effect and certain things having power in order to support stories. So as true creative essence continues to turn the pages in your story and the Benjamin story continues to change and unfold and things ripple out from ultimate freedom, it's possible that you'll notice a change there. It's possible that you won't. It just depends on what happens in your story and how the story unfolds. There's no good or bad, better or worse, anything like that. The other opportunity you have here is you said, such things as meditate and go to the gym, they still make me feel better. The opportunity here, not as an idea or a concept, but to actually experience that there is no such thing as feel better. There is no such thing as feel worse. There is no such thing as feel good. There is no such thing as feel bad. All there is feel, whatever it's like. And yes, different things feel different ways. Then there's a story that says good, bad, better, worse, whatever. So there's a story at work here on top of everything that I just said or beneath everything I said. You don't really feel better when you go to the gym. You don't really feel better if you meditate. You don't really feel worse if you don't. It's just that what appears in inner space is different. And then there's a story about those differences that has a good, bad, better, worse, whatever story to it. All right, then, let's move on to the next question. I've got to look it up here. Save that one first. Okay, this is from Paige. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I've gone through the Ultimate Key to Freedom course on video a number of times, and I thank you for taking the time to read and answer my questions, which are, number one, in the beginning of the experience in Sedona, you say that the course will go deeper into what the cloud cover is slash is made of. Not long after that, you say that there are some things, doors, that will be opened and then kind of left open. I forget what your exact words were. Hopefully you know what I'm referring to. It's been a year since I first completed the course, and I've watched it several times, and I noticed that you don't specifically say what the cloud cover is made of. Is it the I thought? The door was obviously opened, but I'm still cloudy on what exactly the cloud cover is made of. Can you guide me to a better understanding of what it's made of? There's a second question, but I'll stop there. This question, Paige, like many other questions, you've probably heard me say this, can be answered at multiple levels. And so I'm going to go through the levels as they are appearing. At the first level, it's important to see that this is pure mind machine buzzing and worrying. What is this? What does it mean? How should I respond? It's trying to process something that I said that it's grabbed a hold of at the pure idea and concept level. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that or bad about that, or you shouldn't ask a question, or anytime the mind machine buzzes and whirs in this way, you should ignore it. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm just shining the light of truth on what's going on here. This is a pure curiosity, idea, and concept question from the Mind Machine. And as you'll soon see, the answer to it doesn't make any difference, really. Except the Mind Machine can check it off its list and say, oh, okay, mystery solved, question answered. It closes a file, puts it in a file folder, and that's it. It doesn't need to wonder about it anymore. But you already know the answer. It just isn't tied up at the idea and concept level. So what's in the cloud cover? What's in the cloud cover, if you remember, a lot of what we talked about is there's a pure raw experience that appears in the human story. And it either appears in inner space as a thought, a feeling, a sensation, or a combination. Then there's the pure raw experience of what appears in story space, which means just what's happening. The best kind of metaphor crutch is for story space is what would a video camera record? Just what would it record? You know, a video camera doesn't know two people are yelling at each other or arguing or one's angry at the other or their feelings were hurt if it's filming a scene. It just films two people. And one person said this and one person said that. So the pure raw experience is what's actually appearing in inner space, what's actually appearing in story space. And then there's the story about it, the embellishment, the interpretation, the positive, negative, the phase one cloud cover kinds of dynamics. So there's the pure raw experience and there's the story about the pure raw experience. And when I made that comment, what I meant about what's in the cloud cover is all those stories. And one of those stories, yes, is the I thought. I am an individual. I am Paige. I am Robert. I am an individual. Whatever else you might have had, you know, I'm a soul who's incarnated into a body, you know, whatever else was part of. It's the stories. It's the lies, illusions, and stories about who you are, about how life works, about all these kinds of things. That's what's in the cloud cover. And specifically what I was referring to is the stories that bond with pure raw experience and create limitation and restriction and the embracing of lies, illusions, and stories instead of truth. It's everything that's blocking you from knowing with a capital K, seeing with a capital S, experiencing with a capital E, truth. All of that is what's in the cloud cover. Okay, question number two. And again, as you can see, you already knew that. You already knew about pure raw experience. You already knew about stories. You really already knew, really in a way, that that was cloud cover. It's just that the Mind Machine, at a very literal, analytical, intellectual, idea and concept level, hadn't made that one little link. But my guess is you'll experience now, and maybe yes, maybe no, but odds are you'll experience what I just said. It's kind of like the Mind Machine will say, oh, okay, I get it now. Mystery solved, whatever. And then this thing that's been buzzing into your mind that caused you to ask the question will disappear. Mind Machine checks it off its list, but nothing much has really changed because you already knew about pure raw experience and story. So it's an interesting illustration and opportunity to experience the Mind Machine in action. Okay, first of all, I just want to double check. The recording software is still working? Yes, okay. So let's go to number two from Paige. This one is a tad more obtuse and deals with the changes resulting from ultimate freedom awakening being permanent. My character has definitely noticed some changes in terms of how it perceives its reality as a result of the online course and audios. This is especially true in the sense where I will notice that I'm reacting 90% of how I would in previous situations that would drive the so-called me so-called crazy, then a little bit less, etc. I can't say that the truth virus has completed its work or that ultimate freedom is fully awakened, but it does seem to me as though changes have taken place or are taking place, and I would like them to stay and gain traction. I know there's nothing I can do, so I'm not looking for any sort of technique or anything, but it would be supportive for me to hear you talk a bit on the permanent nature of the changes, which are a byproduct of ultimate freedom awakening. Okay, I kind of already have addressed this, Paige, my bias anyway, from the earlier questions that preceded yours. In the Robert story, and it's not a rule or a formula, and I'm not saying, since you said you're a year into this, I'm not saying you got another 2 years. That could happen. It could be 4 years, you know, whatever. Anything can happen. We all are unique characters and unique stories. But in the Robert story, the journey from phase one to ultimate freedom awakening, making the leap into phase two, moving through phase two, then phase two to phase three in my language, that whole journey was 10 years. And the specific journey from knocking out a lot of cloud cover in phase two to ultimate freedom awakening that I talked so much about, most of what I talked about on the morning of day three, was 3 years. So what you're narrating here, little bit of change. I notice I'm reacting differently. Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I react the old way. You'll know what I mean when I say that. That's what happened in the Robert story. Their first was Robert ran the way, bear with all this language, don't take it too literally, Paige, or anyone else listening, just look at what I'm trying to point to. Words don't serve here, as usual. It was Robert operated exactly the way that he used to. And then I started using the phase two busting loose tools and knocking out cloud cover, and a lot of things started to change. Then the journey into ultimate freedom that took 3 years began, and it began with me starting to see just a little bit the truth of what was revealed in the ultimate freedom windows, the truth about thoughts and feelings and sensations and all the stuff that you've discovered in ultimate freedom. First, I just started to see it. Nothing changed. The same stuff happened. I just started to see. There's a story. There's a pure raw experience. There really isn't anything like happiness or unhappiness, pain or pleasure, any of the kinds of things. I began to see that. But the same stuff happened. And then I began to see it more and more, clearer and clearer, and then stuff started to change a little bit. And then things started to happen a little bit. And then other things, the lies, illusions, and stories about other cloud cover dynamics in the Robert story, other mind machine programs and such were revealed. And then pure raw experience separated from the story there. Old way of responding came up on those, and then new way of responding, little bit, little bit, little bit. And the cycle over multiple years going into different parts of the cloud cover was go deep into the heart of a particular lie, illusion, story, mind machine program, section of the cloud cover. They all point to the same thing. Slowly but surely begin to see the truth about it. Slowly but surely begin to experience the truth about it until ultimately, lack of a better term, the new way, the ultimate freedom, truthful, being the reader way, locked in. And then it just locked in. And there wasn't any more of the quote-unquote old way in any way, shape, or form. But this happened with various aspects of the Robert character, various appearances, whatever, over 3 years, with the same basic cycle repeating. Something would come up. The old way of being about that would come up. Again, bear with the language. And I would watch as the reader, as slowly but surely it would change. As the truth virus did its work, it would, the old way would get weaker and weaker and weaker. Ultimate freedom, the new way, bear with the language, would get stronger and stronger and stronger until ultimate freedom, being the reader, completely locked in. And it was a journey. It moved all over the place. What I call the perspective point with a capital P for perspective and a capital P for point moved all over the place with an old interpretation of something grabbing me by the throat and that kind of stuff, and then I'd watch over and over and over as it transformed into being in a truthful, with a capital T, relationship with it all. And that kind of a cycle, if you will, that kind of a pattern, if you will, repeated itself over and over and over in different parts of the Robert character, different parts of the story, for 3 years. You know, and the closer I got to the three-year point, the more ultimate freedom had locked in, the less the old way was appearing. And then all of a sudden, one day, lack of a better term, all those gradual changes combined to create a big permanent change that is what I narrated on, in the stuff about the fourth day and of the program, about what living in ultimate freedom is like, and as I pointed to at various points. So if you have other questions about that, I welcome them, but that's what I feel moved to share in response to what you just said there, what you asked in those two questions. Okay, looking at my inbox, we got two more. So here we go. This next one is from Arlene. My body is showing signs of physical pain and issues that seem to be in need of repair through medical intervention. chiropractors slash physical therapists slash x-rays slash massage therapists have all concluded to my bulging disc, etc. I've spent tons of money and lots of time and energy, quote-unquote, trying to heal this problem. What do you have to say on this matter? I must say I feel silly and irresponsible not going through the motions. Okay, Arlene, I may be misunderstanding you, and if so, I apologize, but there is no, there's nothing in any of the Ultimate Freedom teachings that says thou shalt not. In Ultimate Freedom, you absolutely should not ever. You know, there's no should not, must not, cannot, better if you don't. There's no such thing. The simplest and easiest and most truthful way to look at this in a very, lack of a better term, quick and dirty way, to use that old saying, is if it happens in novels, if it happens in movies, if it happens in TV shows, it's going to happen in a story, even in Ultimate Freedom. Ultimate Freedom is not about content. It's not about specific things happening or not happening. It's about how what is happening in inner space or story space is experienced with a capital E, perceived with a capital P, seen with a capital S. Yes, it is possible, and it does happen, that when Ultimate Freedom is awake in Phase 3, that certain kinds of health problems, just to use your example, don't happen at all or much. Certain kinds of relationship or financial things or whatever don't happen as much or at all, especially if they used to happen a lot in Phase 1 or Phase 2. But as I mentioned many times on Day 4 and Day 5 when you attended the live Ultimate Freedom, there are no guarantees about any specific content. Ultimate Freedom is about the relationship to the experience of being in a truthful with a capital T relationship with whatever appears. So this issue, bulging disc or whatever it is, the things that you have done to try to heal it, what's going on now, what will go on if you have surgery or whatever happens here with the doctors, it's all, at its most truthful with a capital T, an opportunity for unique thoughts, unique feelings, unique sensations before, during, and after, unique interactions with people, be they doctors, nurses, friends, husband, boss, whatever, before, during, and after. It's a story scene. You know, you've read novels where someone's had a bad back, just to use that language. You've seen a character in a movie or a TV show, odds are, that had a bulging disc, you know, or had their back went out on them or whatever. It happens in stories that we read, that we watch, in order to support the story, in order to give us the opportunity to feel, going back to what Michael Haig said about the nature of stories, art of storytelling, to give us opportunities for true creative essence, the opportunity to play, explore, and express itself in unique ways, through unique characters, in unique situations. There is the opportunity, no matter what happens, what you'd call pain, what you'd call rehabilitation, if there's some sort of rehab that might be needed after whatever is done by the doctors with this disc, you know, whatever. Taking drugs for pain, I mean, whatever else, it's all part of the story. It all creates opportunities for unique experiences, and that's what it's all about. Except in a story told by the mind machine, and I get, believe me, Arlene and everyone else listening, I get that the mind machine can buzz and whir and says, yeah, Robert, easy for you to say. But if your back was this, and if you had surgery, and if this, I'm assuming you would have surgery, I don't know, I'm just making that up. You wouldn't say that. Easy for you to say, you know, or bully for you if you can experience these things and it's not a problem, but it's a problem for me. You know, I get that. I've been there. I've experienced that. What Ultimate Freedom provides is an opportunity to experience absolutely everything that appears in inner space, experience with a capital E, absolutely everything that appears in story space in a radically different way that is almost identical, except it's total immersion to what the experience is like of reading a book. So there's the opportunity for true creative essence to read, total immersion read, in a truthful with a capital T way, everything that happens to Arlene. This has been true going forward, but just speaking, going backward, but just speaking about what you wrote about. True creative essence is having an opportunity now to total immersion read with all capital letters what's going to happen with Arlene from this moment forward as it relates to this back thing, and anything can happen. You could wake up one day and it would be mysteriously gone, and the doctors would say, geez, I don't know how that happened, Arlene. It's a miracle, or crazy, or I can't explain it. Or you might have some other kind of a therapy or treatment that will appear to solve the problem, or it may be surgery, whatever it is. I've had surgery on my wrist twice. I had surgery, as you know, on my eyes when I was 3, and I had surgery on my eyes again in my 20s. And I had surgery on my eyes again 3-4 years ago. Again, there's no, you shouldn't have surgery. You shouldn't go to a doctor. You know, there's none of this. I specifically said, actually, if you go back and look, on day 5, health and wellness in ultimate freedom, there's actually a slide in the presentation that says, true creative essence can shape itself into any cause and effect relationship appearing to be true. Therefore, there are no rules or formulas about what you should or shouldn't do about, you know, supplements or doctors or treatments or therapies or anything else. It's all an opportunity for unique experiences, and what's going to happen in a unique story for a unique character is going to happen. So turn the page. Let's see what happens. Ultimately, the most truthful with a capital T, let's just call it interpretation of this is a very unique appearance in the Arlene story. We'll see where it goes. At its most truthful, with a capital T, it presents an extraordinary opportunity for some extraordinary experiences. And I'm feeling moved to tell you something that was brought up recently, but I don't think it came up when I was in Ojai, so I'll share this with you now. There was a guy from New Zealand whose name was Jim. And he was a long-term person in my sphere of influence, went through Busting Loose and all the stuff that followed. He did not go through Ultimate Freedom. I think that he passed away. He was quite elderly at the story level when he first entered my sphere of influence. But anyway, when he was in Phase 1, in his mind, the mind machine, however you want to language it, the story was the worst possible thing that could ever happen, not just to him, but to anybody, would be to have that surgery that takes away part of your colon or part of your digestive system or whatever so that you have to wear a pouch in order to be able to go to the bathroom. You can't use the toilet because your body does not get rid of waste the way it once did. So you have to wear this pouch. And then you have to empty the pouch and all this kind of stuff. That was the worst possible thing that could ever happen to him. And the interesting thing is, after applying the tools and knocking out a whole lot of cloud cover and playing in a lot of sunshine, which was very clear to all of us that that's what was happening for this character in his story, that actually happened to him. And he had that surgery, and he had to wear that pouch, and he came to a retreat for Phase 2 players at the time, and he narrated this story to us that was about 40 minutes long. Actually, it was on a conference call and in a retreat. But he first shared with us on this conference call, and it moved everybody to tears because he said, you know, I used to think this was the worst possible thing that could happen. And then he said, but when I actually had the experience, it was amazing. And he teared up, and he talked about how beautiful the nurses were and the doctors and how they took care of him and they cared about him and the way his wife was and all the different opportunities and experiences. And he wasn't, you know, smoking dope. He wasn't making up lies. He wasn't making up stories. He simply was in a truthful relationship with what happened, with the worst possible thing that could ever happen to you, to his bias through his mind machine. And the whole thing was just this amazing, beautiful, extraordinary experience that he couldn't believe how beautiful it was, every single aspect of it. Now, if you talk to him and you said, well, you know, were there times that it hurt, quote unquote? And again, he wasn't aware of the ultimate freedom at that time. What we've talked about, pure raw experience and stories, I wasn't, as you know. He would have said, yeah, there were times that it was difficult, and there were times I took pain pills or whatever else, but he said the whole experience was just beautiful and awesome, and everybody was moved to tears by this heartfelt, lack of a better term, amazing share of this quote-unquote terrible thing, you know, as he would have once seen it happening to him. So this isn't just pretty words. It isn't just, you know, something that might be unique for Robert and bully for Robert, but not me and blah, blah, blah. This is the opportunity. Now, whether in the Arlene story, whatever happens is perceived this way or not, perceived this way in moments and blips and in other moments judged, whatever, I don't know. The ultimate opportunity is to be reading, with a capital R, everything that's happening to Arlene, quote-unquote, in the Arlene story. And as you know, if you're reading a story in a novel or watching a movie about somebody that's having some treatment to a bulging disc, it's a different experience when you're reading or watching than it is when it appears to be happening to Arlene, who's a real individual, and it's her back and all the stuff that's cloud cover stuff. So that's the opportunity here. As you've heard me say multiple times, we'll see what appears. You know, turn the page. Let's see what happens in the Arlene story. Please keep me updated. I'd love to hear. Okay, bye-bye on that. Okay, here we go. This is the last question for this week. And then next week, if you're listening to this, which will be the week of March 13th, I'll be back at home and I should be back on my regular schedule. So here is the final question. This one is from Benjamin, who attended the... Well, actually, I don't know, but I'm thinking that this is Benjamin who asked the previous question, who attended one of the Sydney Ultimate Keys to Freedom. Having attended many of Amir Zoghi's workshops and following his teachings for many years, I was wondering if you could tell us his views on the teachings. If much of his work is similar to yours, having just completed your 5-day seminar. Well, Benjamin, again, multiple ways to answer this. At the first level of the question, this is your mind machine, buzzing and whirring, trying to answer its three questions by looking at what's in its database of Amir's teachings and what's now in its database of what you discovered in the 5-day Ultimate Key to Freedom experience. And it's trying to answer its three questions and cross-reference everything and file folder everything and relate everything and resolve everything and link everything together at the idea and concept level. No problem with that, except it's not possible and it's never going to be able to cobble together these two things and resolve everything. So the most important first level of support I can give you is this is a pure mind game that the mind machine is playing. It isn't going to resolve itself, even if it thinks so. Ultimately, the question will get dropped as irrelevant or whatever. The second level of the question is, this is something at the story level that you would need to ask Amir about. I don't know what his views are on the teachings. He just discovered the Ultimate Key to Freedom teachings himself. In the event that I did in the last 5 days, he had absolutely no idea what I was going to be talking about in those 5 days. And you'd have to ask him what his view is on the teachings I shared before that and the teachings in the workshop. And you also must be aware that no matter what he says, it's his mind machine whose buzzword opinion he will be giving you. It doesn't mean that that's the truth. It doesn't mean that that's accurate. It doesn't mean anything except that's how the Amir mind machine in my language sees it. Whether he says anything quote-unquote positive and supportive or anything negative and disagreeing or he says it's all the same thing or whatever he says, it's just a mind machine expressing its opinion. And ultimately, anything I would say doesn't matter. Anything that he would say doesn't matter. All that matters is what appears in Benjamin's story, and what ultimately matters is not anything that appears at the idea and concept level. As a buzzword of the mind machine, the only thing that's important, my bias, which we talked about a lot in the experience, is being the total immersion reader of what's actually appearing in inner space in the Benjamin story and seeing what's actually happening in inner space with thoughts, feelings, and sensations, what's actually happening in story space, what's actually happening with the perspective point with capital P's that I've talked about with other questions, watching in quotes as the pages in the Benjamin story are turned, and see what true creative essence shapes itself into and what you actually experience going forward, not what you think, not what appears as thoughts, not what the Robert character might say, not what the Amir character might say. These are old mind machine programs. Somebody else, please tell me what to think. Somebody else, please help me out to understand. I'm confused. Nothing wrong with that. No problem with that. Just shining the light of truth on it. That's what it is. It's a mind machine that says, I'm confused. I don't know how to look at this stuff. Please help me. And the true creative essence knows the truth about everything. It's got a plan for the Benjamin character. It had a plan for writing the Ultimate Key to Freedom 5-day experience into the Benjamin story. It's barely a week old at this point. So let's see how the story unfolds. As in the Benjamin story, as you've heard me say to many of the other people here, day at a time, moment at a time, true creative essence will reveal what has been written, just as the author of any story reveals what's been written as the pages are continued to be turned, as the screenwriter reveals what is to come in the movie. As the minutes pass, the story resolves itself. Other things reveal themselves. The story continues. That's what will happen with Benjamin. All right, that's all I got this week. It's a lot. We're at 70 minutes now, so hour and 10 minutes. Thank you all for your questions, comments, and shares. I appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity to interact with you this way, uniquely from Australia. Next time you hear from me again, I'll be back in Charlottesville speaking from my office over my garage where you normally hear from me. So thanks a lot. Bye-bye for now. I'll look forward to our next form of contact, whatever shape that takes. Bye-bye for now.